Welcome into another edition of Just the Truth. Glad to have you join me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. Speaking at a rally in Freeland, Michigan, President Donald Trump warned that politicians have to first get elected in order to govern. This was in the context of his speech about abortion rights being decided at the state level. Anti-Israel protesters at UCLA have posted a shopping list of items that they need in order to remain in their encampment on campus. I have a suggestion. Call home to mommy and daddy and tell them that you need what you need for them to bring you to keep your little hissy fit going. Also, this is a good one too. A Columbia University graduate student went viral online after telling members of the media that protesters were at risk of dying or becoming severely ill if authorities did not deliver food and water to them. What are these kids thinking as they hold their campuses hostage? We'll give you an update on that. The 400,000 migrants flown to the U.S. under Joe Biden's parole program likely will stay here forever, experts tell the New York Post. We've got that for you as well. And please be careful when you answer the phone. Headline: Baby boomers were scammed out of more than $3.4 billion in 2023 by fraudsters who phoned the aging victims with bogus offers of tech support or to wire money to fake accounts, leaving some destitute, federal officials say. I take issue with the fact that they talk about baby boomers being aging victims, as a baby boomer myself. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a voice message. Emails always welcome as well. Joey at joeyhudson.com.
I told you we'd be back.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
It's Joey Hudson.
On our guest line this morning, Senator Tim Scott.
Thank you for listening to one of the best radio shows. Joey, God bless your leadership.
Joey, congratulations on your new show.
I just wanted to let you know that I always appreciate your perspective and your common sense approach to the issues.
You know what? If people like you keep telling us the truth, believe me, we're paying close attention.
Let your voice be heard.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here's Joey Hudson.
Let's start with President Donald Trump in Freeland, Michigan. He kind of took up a topic that Democrats are hoping to use as an election weapon against conservatives. President Trump warned pro-life conservatives seeking to restrict abortion at this rally. It was on the tarmac there at the local airport in Freeland, Michigan, that politicians have to first get elected in order to govern.
And remember this, as a politician, you have to have heart. You have to have what your heart determines, and you have to fight for what's in your heart and what's the right thing to do. But remember, you also have to get elected. Getting elected is also important, not only on this issue, but on taxes and military and everything else. You have to get elected, because if you don't get elected, it goes back to the federal government, perhaps, or you have many other things that can go wrong. So go with your heart, do what's right. Everybody wanted this to be done. Every legal scholar wanted this to be done. Most Democrats wanted it. Liberals wanted it. This was a while ago. Then they changed their mind. They viewed it as a political deal. A lot of bad things will happen beyond the abortion issue if you don't win elections with your taxes and everything else. So it's been very interesting, and again, some states have been right where they wanted to be. Other states have gone more liberal than they wanted, and some have gone more conservative. But it's all working out, and the votes are coming up now in certain cases, and it's all starting to work out. And it's going to ultimately bring our country together. It gets the vote down to the people.
During the speech, Trump applauded his ability to bring historic conservative majority to the Supreme Court during his first administration, getting the three judges confirmed to the highest court, which ultimately decided to overrule the half-century Roe v. Wade decision to begin with, returning abortion back to the states as an issue. Trump added, every legal scholar wanted this to be done. Democrats have decided their leftist voters have demanded they work to allow abortions through birth, using it as a way to win presidential elections against conservatives who side with the American majority that see the common sense of restrictions on abortion to save the lives of the unborn, Trump told the group, adding that abortion restrictions should not be decided by the unelected Supreme Court. Trump, who maintains that he is the most pro-life president in American history, repeated his belief that winning elections means that you have to accept some exceptions and time for mothers to decide on their own as far as pregnancy, a fact that has irked some of his pro-life supporters. Conservative states can be more restrictive, liberal states can be more permissive, but ultimately, late-term abortions cannot be allowed under a Supreme Court precedent, Trump told the group. Abortion, of course, will remain a divisive issue, he said, but it should not decide presidential elections. Trump weighed in on other constitutional issues, noting that having a conservative in the White House is the only way forward for American voters to keep the Constitution from being abused by liberal politicians. He said, "It's our goal that one day voting will be by paper ballots, proof of citizenship, and requiring a voter ID. All those issues relying on voting for Republicans and putting Trump back in the White House," he concluded. "But until then, Republicans must win," he said. "We have to win. That's why I say use your heart. We won't, in the case of our election, our presidential election, we want a landslide that's too big to rig, too big to rig. We have to make it so big at a certain level that they can't cheat," Trump said. Meanwhile, the Arizona legislature, speaking of abortion, approved a repeal of the long dormant ban on nearly all abortions in their state, advancing the bill to Democrat Governor Katie Hobbs, who is expected to sign it. Two Republicans in the state legislature joined Democrats in the Senate on the 16-14 vote in favor of repealing this Civil War era ban on abortions that the state's highest court recently allowed to take effect. The repeal ban narrowly cleared the Arizona House just last week. Hobbs said in a statement that she looks forward to quickly signing the repeal into law. She said, "The devastating consequences of this archaic ban are why I've called for it to be repealed since day one of my administration. Arizona women should not have to live in a state where politicians make decisions that should be between a man and her doctor," the governor said. "While this repeal is essential for protecting women's lives, it is just the beginning of our fight to protect reproductive health care in Arizona." The revival of the 19th century law had put Republicans on the defensive in a battleground state for the presidential election. Vice President Kamala Harris said in a statement yesterday, "Across the country, women are living in a state of chaos and cruelty caused by Donald Trump. What is happening in Arizona is just the latest example," she continued. "While Arizona Democrats have worked to clean up the devastating mess created by Trump and his extremist allies, the state's existing ban, with no exception for rape or incest, remains in effect." If the bill repealed is signed as expected, a 2022 statute banning the procedure after 15 weeks of pregnancy would become Arizona's prevailing abortion law. Still, there would likely be a period when nearly all abortions would be outlawed because the repeal will not take effect until after 90 days after the end of the legislative session, which will likely be in June or sometime in July. Arizona State Attorney General Chris Mays, called the vote a win for freedom in our state, but expressed concern that without an emergency clause, Arizonians would still be subject to the near-total abortion ban for some time. She said, "Rest assured, my office is exploring every option available to prevent this outrageous 160-year-old law from ever taking effect." The near-total ban on abortions, which predates Arizona statehood, permits abortions only to save the patient's life and provides no exceptions for survivors of rape or incest. In a ruling last month, the Arizona Supreme Court suggested doctors could be prosecuted under the 1864 law, which says that anyone who assists in an abortion can be sentenced to 2 to 5 years in prison. Voting on the bill stretched more than an hour in the Senate session amid impassioned speeches about the motivations behind individual votes. There were numerous disruptions from people in the Senate gallery as Republican State Senator Shauna Bolick explained her vote in favor of the repeal. She was one of the two Republicans voting with the Democrats. GOP State Senator Jake Hopman denounced Republican colleagues for joining with Democrat colleagues, calling it an affront to his party's principles. Hoffman said, "It is disgusting that this is the state of the Republican Party today." Advocates on both sides of the abortion issue arrived outside of the Arizona Senate yesterday anticipating the vote. They included people affiliated with Planned Parenthood and faith-based groups who are opposed to abortion. A school-aged girl kneeled in prayer in front of the table holding a large statue of the Virgin Mary while a man with a megaphone shouted at passerbys to repent. Karen Friggin, who was handing out brochures from the Arizona Right to Life, said, "I'm expecting it will be repealed, but I'm praying that it will not be." The law had been blocked since the U.S. Supreme Court's 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling. When Roe v. Wade, of course, was overturned in June of 2022, then Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, who was a Republican, persuaded a state judge that the 1864 ban could again be enforced. Still, the law hasn't actually been enforced while the case was being challenged in various courts. Mays said, who succeeded Brnovich, urged the state's high court against reviving the law. Planned Parenthood officials vowed to continue providing abortions for the short time that they're still legal and said that they will reinforce networks that help patients travel out of state to places like New Mexico and California to access abortions. Advocates are collecting signatures for a ballot measure allowing abortions until a fetus could survive outside of the womb, typically around 24 weeks, with exceptions to save the parent's life or to protect her physical or mental health. Republican lawmakers, in turn, are considering putting one or more competing abortion proposals on the November ballot. A leaked planning document outlined the approaches being considered by the House Republicans, such as codifying existing abortion regulations, proposing a 14-week ban that would be disguised as a 15-week law because it would allow abortions until the beginning of the 15th week, and a measure that would prohibit abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy before many people know that they're pregnant. House Republicans have not yet publicly released any of their proposed ballot measures. President Donald Trump has accepted an invitation to speak at the Libertarian Party's national convention later this month, and he says that he will answer members' concerns while commenting that if libertarians join forces with Republicans, the election won't even be close between he and President Joe Biden. In a statement, the presumptive GOP presidential nominee said, "Libertarians are some of the most independent and thoughtful thinkers in our country, and I'm honored to join them in Washington, D.C. later this month. We must all work together to help advance freedom and liberty for every American, and a second Trump administration will achieve that goal." Trump's speech is planned for May 25th. He said that the event will be attended by many of my great friends. Libertarian Party Chairwoman Angela McArdle, meanwhile, said that the party plans to share a list of its top 10 issues with Trump before the convention in hopes of making an impact on his policy positions. She said, "For 50 years, we've been trying to get our candidates on the main stage with major party presidential candidates, and we finally succeeded in bringing one to our stage. We will do everything in our power to use this incredible opportunity to advance the message of liberty." The party also invited Joe Biden to speak. They say there's no indication that he will even respond. This year's convention theme is "Become Ungovernable." The theme was chosen, the Libertarian said, following the previous year's unconscionable authoritarian actions by the United States federal and state governments, which saw citizens confined, indoctrinated, lied to, and inoculated against their will. Several Libertarian Party presidential candidates have come from Republican ranks. The Washington Examiner points out in 2008, the party ran former Representative Bob Barr, from a Republican from Georgia, as its nominee. And in 2012 and 2016, former GOP New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson served as their nominee. Meanwhile, in the 2020 election, Libertarian candidate Joe Jorgensen gained about 1.2% of the national vote, coming in third place behind Biden and Trump. I suppose since Trump's going to be speaking at their national convention, they must not have a nominee this year. Anti-Israel protesters at UCLA have posted a shopping list of items that they need in order to remain in their encampment on campus. This is kind of interesting. Stick around. Let me first tell you about My PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, the program, myphdweightloss.com. If you want to lose weight, if you want to get healthy, then it's real simple. You just need to write this number down and call 864-252-4925. I am so thankful that almost 4 years ago now, I was introduced to Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team at PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. I happened to go to the Greenville office. They also have offices in Asheville, Charlotte, Lake Norman, and anywhere you have a phone, they can do the program virtually. So if you live in Illinois or Ohio or Pennsylvania or California, wherever, if you have a phone, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team can help you get healthy again. 864-252-4925. Call and set up your appointment for a consultation today. And I promise you, like I did almost 4 years ago, I lost 30 pounds very quickly. I've been able to maintain that weight for all these years now because they teach you about your relationship with food. It's all based on the science of nutrition, what to eat, when to eat, and how to eat. I promise you, this is one phone call you will never regret. I certainly don't. You'll feel better. You'll focus. You'll be able to sleep better. You'll be able to do things that maybe you haven't been able to do in a long, long time. Set up your initial consultation now and get started. And by the time we start rolling into summer, June, July, you can be talking about losing 10, 20, 30 pounds or more. I've had listeners who have lost 135 pounds. You can do it too. MyPhDWeightLoss.com is their website. You can find information there. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, the official partner of the Clemson Tigers. As we have watched over the past couple of weeks now, the lunacy happening on college campuses all around our country, particularly the ground zero seems to be in New York City at Columbia University, NYU, although it has spread to other campuses like University of Texas in Austin, UCLA, one of the latest. The anti-Israel protesters hunkered down on the grounds of the University of California, Los Angeles, put out a rather bizarre list of requested donations yesterday with some, quote, urgent items that seemingly indicate the mob is preparing for battle. They want skater helmets, shields, wood for barriers, they say, and elbow and knee pads were among the much-needed tools requested by the school's Students for Justice in Palestine to enable that they can sustain their so-called UCLA Palestine Solidarity Encampment. Why would you need skater helmets and shields and elbow and knee pads for a peaceful protest? This many tent city, which erupted in chaos Tuesday night when agitators tried to infiltrate the grounds, also asked for a medical stockpile, food, and sleeping bags. This was in a Google Doc that has been shared on social media. SJP at UCLA said in a statement, "We will not leave. We will remain here until our demands are met." The defensive materials listed as urgent items, as well as headlamps, airsoft goggles, gas masks, and flashlights with strobes. The group also asked for utility gloves without reinforced knuckles or various sizes. They added they really needed pairs that were made for especially small hands. The request went on to list rope, zip ties, electric and solar powered generators, as well as EpiPens, inhalers, lotion, and Aquaphor. A separate spreadsheet made specifically for donors interested in feeding the rebel rousers was linked in the document and came with a clear warning that several items were not permitted in the encampment. No packaged food, no coffee, no bagels, no bananas, no nuts, the document read, with each prohibited item bolded and underlined. The campers were also banned from using sunscreen, according to the sheet. The only foods SJP at UCLA would seemingly accept are vegan and gluten-free items with a specific request for hot food for lunch, and they put in parentheses, important. The donation list was published on the group's Instagram page, where it also, I'll say ignorantly, compared it to members to Palestinians in the Gaza war following the violent clash on campus. So they're comparing themselves. They're the roughing it in the this encampment on campus as what Palestinians in Gaza are experiencing. I say that rather than donate some of these items they need, let's donate some money to buy them a one-way ticket to get them to Israel and down to the Gaza Strip. Let them see what it's really like in Gaza. Let them see what these Hamas terrorists did to innocent people. I saw it firsthand when Mike Gallagher and I traveled to Israel back in late February, early March, and we went to the kibbutz that was first attacked by the Hamas terrorists. We were within a half a mile of the border, and to see what they did, if these students could see these homes, if they could see the photos of these families that are taped to some of these burned out homes, who were taken hostage, in some cases who were murdered, who were slaughtered, if they could see that and then have sympathy for the Hamas terrorist, I would challenge them to that. The SJP at UCLA claimed that they experienced a life-threatening assault after counter-protesters tried to clear the camp overnight in what turned into a chaotic brawl that required intervention by the Los Angeles Police Department. The protesters alleged that their aggressors were armed with pepper spray, gas canisters, and bricks, which may explain the group's request for shields and gas masks. You know, this is not funny, but it is funny that you got these spoiled brats on this campus publishing a list of things that they need. I mean, how nuts is this? Look, go home. Go back to your dorm or to your apartment or wherever it is you live and eat out of your pantry. UCLA canceled classes yesterday because of the violence, and they shut down a couple of their student classroom areas, a couple of the major office buildings on the campus. The university said in a statement, "We have law enforcement presence stationed throughout the campus to help promote safety. Student affairs will have essential staff on campus to support our students who have been impacted by this tragedy." And it is a tragedy caused by their own students. Meanwhile, the New York Post is reporting that a group of city council members in New York City are saying that taxpayers should not have to pay for NYPD to, quote, babysit unruly Columbia students, as some of the politicians are fuming as the cops are having to stay around the clock on guard and working overtime, costing the city thousands and thousands of dollars. A bipartisan group of city politicians said Columbia University should open its checkbook if school leaders want the NYPD to stay on the Ivy League campus through May 17th and, again, quote, babysit the unruly students. The elite institution's beleaguered president, Manouk Shafiq, drew the ire of the city council's Common Sense Caucus with a request that cops stay on the campus until 2 days after commencement to ensure that the anti-Israel encampment doesn't spring back up. Officials told the New York Post, "Columbia created this mess, and Columbia, not New Yorkers, should have to pay to clean it up." There are 9 members of the council, led by Queens Republican Joanna Arriola and Minority Leader Joe Borelli, who make up the Common Sense Caucus. The NYPD cleared out the anti-Israel protesters who had been camping out for weeks on the school's lawn in Morningside Heights Tuesday night as they took the campus back. Negotiations between Columbia higher-ups and the demonstrators had devolved with a mob, which Mayor Eric Adams said included outside agitators staging violent protests and occupation of nearby academic buildings, primarily Hamilton Hall, the one that we saw on so many of the news reports and where we saw NYPD literally crawling in the windows last night to clear the building. The council member said that while we can all agree that these protesters should not be allowed to reassemble and harass their fellow students, we believe taxpayers should not be forced to pay for a private institution's use of significant NYPD resources. New York City has very real problems that must be prioritized, the letter continued, adding babysitting spoiled students, activist professors, and professional protesters on an Ivy League campus is not one of them. Members of the Common Sense Caucus insist that Columbia should write the check to foot the bill. If the university wants city cops to assist on campus, the caucus told school officials to contact the NYPD's Pay Details Unit, which specializes in providing security for private places. You certainly can't afford it, the lawmaker said, noting that Columbia's tuition costs are more than $68,000 a year and $13.6 billion in endowments. It was unclear if police plan to keep a presence on the campus for the next few weeks. Chief of Department Jeff Madry said during a press conference Wednesday, right after this, we're going to go out and we're going to do an assessment on the campus. We're going to make sure we speak with the campus officials. Then we're going to make a determination of what kind of resources we're going to put in there, he said. One more thing before we move on from this. A Columbia University graduate student went viral online after telling members of the media that protesters were at risk of dying or becoming severely ill if authorities did not deliver food and water to them. So now they're wanting food delivered to them. Here's this young lady who's been reported as Johanna King Selutsky, an instructor and PhD candidate at Columbia University, according to National Review.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who've taken over a building?
Well, first of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries. We want to take up this building. Now, would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it yet.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
And the Grubhub.
Now, again, this was just prior to NYPD breaking up this encampment, but talk about the lunacy of this. Yale professor Nicholas Christotakis wrote, "These are not the remarks, let alone the arguments, of a serious person. This is the way someone who has never been challenged to define her views with facts and reason speaks. This is someone who thinks she is winning the battle of ideas simply by articulating her desires. Someone her university has not taught." Liberal commentator Joanne Carducci wrote on X, "Every good revolutionary knows you have to pack snacks." That this ends with the, "But the Grubhub might be the greatest commentary on the times we live in," she said. Conservative commentator, show host Liz Wheeler wrote, "Her entire bio on Columbia University's website is about viewing everything through a lens of Marxism. She's a literal communist whining for someone to bring her lunchbox." Again, thank goodness Hamilton Hall on Columbia's campus was cleared of protesters by the New York Police Department Tuesday night around 11 p.m., nearly 24 hours after it was occupied by students. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line. What do you think? After hearing a couple of these stories, Is it the responsibility of Columbia University to foot the bill instead of the city having, city taxpayers having to pay this? And should people be taking food and water and supplies to these students who are holding their campuses hostage? 864-477-5639. The 400,000 migrants flown to the U.S. under Biden's parole program likely will stay here forever, according to experts talking to the New York Post. I have the story on that in just a moment. Portions of today's show made possible by Furman Ford and Lawrence. If you're looking for that new vehicle, but you just haven't found the right one yet, look no further than Furman Ford and Lawrence. Their name is on the sign because their name is on the line with every single transaction, and Matthew and Jim Furman take that very seriously. When you deal with Furman Ford, if you call, if you email, if you stop by, you're always going to have access to a member of the Furman family because they want to help you navigate some of the great deals they have on a huge selection of pre-owned vehicles, and they have a great selection of new vehicles as well. What's even better, when you drive your vehicle off the lot at Furman Ford, you know that your money is staying right here in the upstate community, staying in the community to help support the community that they love. For an all-around better buying experience, visit my friends at Furman Ford in Lawrence. Find them online at FurmanFord.com. Go there today. Take a look at their inventory, FurmanFord.com. I told you in a recent episode about the parole program that the Biden administration has allowed hundreds of thousands of people to fly directly into the states. And they're given the green light to seek employment immediately. They're even assisted to do so. According to a column by the New York Post, the roughly 400,000 migrants who have been allowed into the U.S. under the Biden administration's Cuban, Haitian, and Nicaraguan and Venezuelan, it's called the CHVN parole program, will most likely stay in the U.S. indefinitely, according to a number of experts. The program first began in October of 2022. It was initially for Venezuelans and was expanded in November 2023 to allow 30,000 migrants per month to enter the U.S. for up to 2 years. Now that's the deal. They're allowed to come here. They have to pay their own flight, pay their own travel. They're allowed to come here with the idea they'll stay here for up to 2 years. And it's supposed to be for urgent humanitarian reasons or significant public benefit. Now, Department of Homeland Security data revealed that 400,000 migrants have taken advantage of the program through February of this year. Immigration experts say that the huge influx, equivalent to about 1,000 per day, are unlikely to simply go home at the end of the two-year parole period. Does it take a rocket scientist to tell you that? Why would they volunteer to go home when most likely we don't even know where they are? And we're not going to spend the money, or the Biden administration certainly not going to spend the money to track them down. Trump's former Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director, Tom Holman, told the Post they're overwhelming the system, which more than likely will result in these people staying here forever. Parolees have three options. The DHS can extend their parole period, they can hire a lawyer to establish legal residency, or illegally overstay in the U.S. So let me ask you, of those three options, which one do you think most of them will use? Considering that the Biden administration is not likely to hunt down parolees who merely overstay their welcome. Holman said, ICE is not looking for non-criminal fugitives. They're not. Look, ICE is not looking for fugitives at all, criminal or not, or non-criminal. However, Holman said under a second Trump administration, migrants overstaying in the U.S. would be much more likely to become a target for removal. Former ICE Field Office Director John Fabricatore confirmed to the Post that if parolees on the program are not removed by the Biden administration, many are likely to overstay and be added to the non-detained ICE docket, meaning that they'll be listed but not actively pursued. The parole process is supposed to be utilized for those with urgent humanitarian reasons, but Fabricatore claims it's being improperly used as an immigration status. Retired Deputy Patrol Agent in charge of the El Paso station, Clay Thomas, added that he expects parole periods to be automatically extended because that's the easiest option, he said. They're not going to have people tracking them down, so they're just going to do a blanket extension on that 2 years because that's just a click of a button. Thomas told the Post, adding that it will be nearly impossible to find tens of thousands of people given the volume of people and the lack of tracking on migrants. And the Biden administration knew this going into it. They knew this was going to happen. Migrants on parole do have a range of legal options open to them for extending their stays legally, according to the experts. Cubans, for example, are able to apply for a permanent residency, commonly known as a green card, after 1 year in the U.S. thanks to the Cuban Adjustment Act, according to Miami-based immigration attorney Maria Herrera Maldonado. All parolees who arrive through the program can apply for visas, asylum, and some can try for temporary protected status, which temporarily shields them from removal based on issues in their home countries. Most commonly, Venezuelan, Haitian, and Nicaraguan parolees often arrive through the parole program and then apply for asylum while in the U.S., she said. A subpoena from the House Homeland Security Committee recently made the DHS disclose data on the CHVN program showing that most migrants paroled into the U.S. are landing in Florida. I went through the list with you in yesterday's episode, so if you missed it, go back to yesterday's episode and listen, because I gave you a breakdown of all of the states that they're coming in and how many went there, with again, most of them arriving in Florida and then dispersing from there. A subpoena from the House Homeland Security Committee made this data possible for you and me to see. Roughly 80% of the parolees who arrived between January and August of 2023 went to Miami, Florida, or Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, and Tampa Bay, according to the data. Mulatto said that her Cuban and Venezuelan clients flying to Miami through the parole program are staying in the area to reunite with their families. She said this is their final destination. Meanwhile, there's a long line of migrants hoping to be accepted into the program, with 1.6 million applications awaiting approval. Think about that. 1.6 million people have applied for the program. I guess the only good news of that is that there's actually a process. 864-477-5639. Your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line. Speaking of, Tony writes, Joey, this illegal immigration issue isn't a problem for the Democrats. It's their solution to stay in power because most illegals vote Democrat. So all this illegal immigration issue is intentional. It will continue as long as the Democrats bully Republicans. Ginger writes, why aren't these college students going to class and studying for exams? When I was in college, I was busy getting an education. They should be expelled, but will probably get credit given to them for their courses taken. Look, some of the schools have said they're going to expel some of these people, and they should. They should kick them out, send them back home to mommy and daddy. And those who are foreign students should be sent back home and not allowed to ever enter our country again. Carol writes on the Furman Ford text line, it looks like the Dems know that they can't beat President Trump, so this administration is now flying votes into our country. That's why we absolutely have to pass legislation that only U.S. citizens may vote. Jordan says, I wonder why the Jewish members on the Democrat side of Congress will not condemn what's going on these college campuses. Schumer especially. He condemns the lawlessness of the protesters but said nothing of the obvious hate for his people. Bernie Sanders as well. Nothing from him. Both powerful Jewish people in a high place of power doing nothing for their people, for my people, or for Israel, and it's disgusting. It makes me sick, Jordan says. We have a word for them back home in Israel. It's Pakdan. It means coward. They're certainly cowards, Jordan. Thank you for your comment. Ray writes, Joey, it just gets crazier each day. Now the Ivy League protesters want humanitarian aid to prevent their starvation as a protest. I say let them win the Darwin Award. We have plenty of replacements who have not caught the stupid. It may be time to get rid of all the universities and replace them with true institutions of higher education. sure felt good to say that. Happy Thursday. Ray, you're right. This request for humanitarian aid, and they, some of them literally posting list of things that they'd like to have, that they need to have in order to stay in the encampment. Again, pack up, take your tent with you, go home to mommy and daddy, and let mommy cook you supper tonight. Jennifer writes, Maganomics. Trump is at a rally in Wisconsin. He just said he is replacing Bidenomics with Maganomics. Isn't that great? Maybe you've heard it already. Good for the campaign. He looks good too, speaking well. Yeah, Maganomics, that's anything other than Bidenomics, because we know Bidenomics is not working. Faye says, sure like today's news. Oh, well, what news is that, Faye? Bobby in Elberton says, I'm so excited that you and Mike are coming back to a station that I can get. Woohoo. I couldn't get the podcast on YouTube, no internet, so I haven't been able to listen for the past month, but now I can. Welcome back, guys. Katrina says, wow, congrats. Ron just came in and announced that your new show starts Monday. So happy for you and for all of us, too. Susan says, are you going to continue your podcast after you're back on the radio? So what are all these messages about? So let me play you a promo that if you were to listen to News Talk 98.9 WRD, the voice of the Carolinas, you might possibly hear in the next few days.
Hi, this is Mike Gallagher.
And Joey Hudson here.
Now a part of the News Talk 98.9 WORD family.
Starting Monday, join me for my new show, Sunrise Carolina with Joey Hudson, where I'll be waking you up at 5 a.m.
Then at 10, right after Tara, it's the Mike Gallagher Show as I return to the station where it all started 35 years ago. Spread the
word around. Starting Monday, the boys are back with Tara, Bill, and Charles.
And the entire family at News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
So that's the news that everyone is texting about. Thank you for all the text and the emails and the comments on Facebook. Mike Gallagher is so excited about returning to the airwaves in the market where he got his start in radio almost 35 years ago. And I'm happy that I too will be joining the crew over at News Talk 98.9 WORD as well. I'll be doing a 5 to 6 a.m. sort of a wake-up type program with all the headlines that are happening. I'll be joining Mike every day at around 10:30 or so for a daily segment and some other things that I'll be doing as well. So plan to join us, plan to tune in to News Talk 98.9 WRD, the voice of the Carolinas. But that won't interrupt our mission here on Just the Truth either, though. We're going to keep building our family of conservatives because, as my friend and colleague Larry Elder used to say, we have a country to save. Please be careful when you answer the phone. Headline, baby boomers were scammed out of more than $3.4 billion in 2023 by fraudsters who phoned the aging victims with bogus offers of tech support or to wire money to fake accounts, leaving some destitute, according to federal officials. Have that story for you in just a moment. First, if you're looking for a new appliance, you need a new refrigerator, new dishwasher, washer and dryer, look no further than Discounted Appliance Warehouse in Pickens. Whether you're replacing a broken appliance or maybe you're upgrading, maybe you're doing a total kitchen remodel, when it comes to shopping for your appliances, Discounted Appliance Warehouse is the place to be. They've never have any shipping or supply issues because in their 11,000 square foot warehouse, they'll have over 1,500 appliances on any given day, ready quite often for you to buy today and use it today. And boy, their award-winning service department, with their extended warranties, Discounted Appliance Warehouse, they have you covered well after the sale as well. And I know this firsthand because I've been buying appliances from Discounted Appliance Warehouse for years now. Jeff and Johnny and Kyle and the whole team, they're waiting to take care of your appliance needs right now. They really do treat you like family. You're more than a credit card swipe at Discounted Appliance Warehouse. They're very proud of the fact that they offer Speed Queen, the only washer and dryers with manufacturer's warranties that cover parts and labor for up to 7 years. Find them in Pickens and online at dawpickens.com, dawpickens.com. Losses from scams reported by Americans over the age of 60 surged 11% last year over the previous year, according to the FBI reports that were released this week. And all the feds received more than 100,000 complaints from baby boomers, those between the ages of 59 and 77, of which I'm one of, who said that they had fallen victim to these scams. Americans over the age of 60 were collectively scammed out of $3.4 billion, that's billion with a B, in 2023. $3.4 billion scammed, according to this FBI report. Nearly 6,000 of those lost more than $100,000. James Barnicle, he's the Deputy Assistant Director of the FBI's Criminal Investigation Division, he said it can be a devastating impact to older Americans who lack the ability to go out and make money. Look, it's devastating to anybody. I don't care if you're still able to go out and make money. To lose $100,000, that's devastating for anyone. He said people lose all their money. Some people become destitute. So the most commonly reported fraud among older adults, I cringe sometimes when I read stuff like this about older adults, the baby boomers, again, of which I'm one of. I don't think of myself as being an older adult, but I am. but they talk about the most commonly reported fraud involves criminals calling your house, posing as technical support people or a customer service representative. The FBI has warned that there's a growing trend where fraudsters impersonate technology, banking, and government officials in order to convince you that your bank account has been hacked. To resolve the issue, and they're ready to help you, the scammers instruct the victims to move funds into a new account, one that's actually controlled by the swindlers. The government agency received, again, upwards of 100,000 complaints, again, mostly baby boomers, who have fallen victims to this. In some cases, criminals have had people drain their bank accounts under the guise that they need to either liquidate their assets into cash or buy gold or other precious metals to protect their funds. Then these crooks, get this, they send couriers to your home to collect the cash or gold in broad daylight. Federal investigators saw an uptick in these crippling crimes between May and December of last year, they said. In other cases, the fraud schemes are asking victims to send money via wire transfer or a cryptocurrency transfer. Barnicle said when the victim is reluctant to do that, they're given an alternative. So the bad guy will use courier services to literally come out and make it easy for you. The FBI also noted that the financial loss suffered by baby boomers is likely undercounted because some people are too embarrassed to call and report it. And I get that. Only about half of the more than 880,000 overall complaints reported to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center last year included information on the age of the victim as well. So we don't know. There's probably more older adults who are being taken advantage of. Earlier this month, for example, and we talked about this, an 81-year-old man was a target of a telephone scam, which led to the death of an innocent Uber driver who was sent as a courier to his West Virginia home. William Brock, you remember that name, William Brock? We talked about him. He received a call claiming that his incarcerated relative threatened him and his family and demanded money. The Uber driver had also been contacted by the same person, or maybe an accomplice, we don't know for sure, instructing this driver through her rideshare company's app to pick up a package for delivery from Mr. Brock's home. When she arrived, Brock allegedly demanded that the unarmed woman identify the person who had contacted her and grabbed her phone as he refused to let her leave. After the altercation, or during the altercation, Brock then shot the woman 3 times before calling 911. Brock reportedly told the dispatcher that he shot someone who was trying to rob him. So again, folks, don't talk to these people when they call you. And your bank is never going to call you and want you to do something online, I promise you. That's it for today's edition of Just the Truth. Thanks for joining me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. And if you haven't joined our mailing list, please do so. Just go to joeyhudson.com, click on the Connect with Joey button so that you can receive our emails with the most up-to-date news. Find me on YouTube as well. Just search for Joey Hudson. If you can't find it, send me a quick text. I'll send you a link straight to our YouTube channel. Appreciate you spending a few minutes of your day with me. Be sure and forward Just the Truth to friends and family. Now, again, let me be very clear here that just because starting next week, you'll be able to hear me. I'll be waking you up if you get up at 5 o'clock with Sunrise Carolina on News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas. But we're still going to be here on Just the Truth as well. Some of you who have become accustomed to listening when you want to listen, which is the great thing of a podcast, you're still going to have that option. So we still need to build our community of conservatives on Just the Truth because we have elections to win. So as we head into the June primaries and the November general elections, it's more important than ever that you continue to share Just the Truth with your friends. And let me ask you to do that right now. Share it with someone. If you'll share it with a few people every day, we'll continue to build our audience on Just the Truth, and we'll build that army that we need to take back our country. Keep those comments coming, too, via the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-JOEY. Keep your emails coming as well, joey@joeyhudson.com. We're back again tomorrow. I hope you'll plan to be with us. Until then, remember, God's got this. He's still in control.